Welcome to the Group Home Riches Podcast. If you have the desire to be your own boss, create your own schedule, and become financially free while at the same time helping people in need, then you've come to the right place. At GroupHomeRiches.com, we teach people exactly like yourself how to get started in the group home business. And on this podcast, you're going to hear their stories firsthand. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Group Home Riches Podcast. A couple weeks ago, me and Andy did a live webinar, kind of exclusive for our school group. And the topic of the day was just how to work with virtual assistants, how to outsource stuff, and kind of live that 4-hour work week lifestyle. And Lindsay was on the call. I saw her in the chat. She's messaging. She was totally familiar with the concept, knew exactly what we were talking about. And she messaged me. She was actually on the skiing slopes, enjoying her vacation, and her group home business was just rocking on autopilot. I knew as soon as I got that message, man, we have to hear this story. It's going to be inspiring for our folks. So Lindsay, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me, gentlemen.
On the call as well as the founder of Group Home Riches, Andy Rothschild. Andy, welcome.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
So before we kind of get into the nitty-gritty, you know, details about your business and how you use virtual assistants to outsource everything, that's definitely going to talk about that. Why don't we rewind a little bit? You know, the group home thing, that's not something that you just stumble on when you're watching TV at night or searching the internet randomly. So what made you want to get into this business? And when was that?
So that was probably around June of 2023. I have a syndication company where my business partner and I, we had purchased multiple large homes to run as Airbnbs. And many of your listeners may or may not be familiar with, but the fact that a lot of the rules and regulations around Airbnbs in different cities are changing rapidly and not always in the best favor for those of us who are running them as Airbnbs. And so it came to a point where we figured we really want to pivot with some of these. And what was going to be the next step, given that we had these big, large, beautiful homes, didn't necessarily make sense to rent them out as long-term rentals. And it wasn't the right time to sell them because, you know, we'd taken a lot of time to acquire these. And as we all know, it's a long-term play with real estate. And so what could we do to make them still cash flow and allow us to hang on to them? And to be honest, I don't 100% remember how exactly I stumbled upon Group Home Riches, but I was Googling for different ways to, you know, rent by the room, rent by the bed. And I came across your website and I thought, this is really interesting, and started to dig more into it. And as I learned about the method, something that called to me is in our family, in our personal lives, we've been touched by addiction. And so the idea of being able to help those recovering and sober living homes was instantly something that connected with our values and our passion. And so we dove right into it. We started 4 homes all at the same time, which I don't know if I would necessarily recommend going back and doing it that way if it wasn't one of those situations where we had them all and it was time to pull the trigger. But we started with 4 homes in different markets. And right now we're up to 6 homes, all of them focused on sober living. But exactly like the class teaches, it's open in many ways to the general population wanting to live and willing to live within those sober rules and regulations of a community. So in some ways, we're able to have it a little bit of both worlds in the sense of having that general population and not having to narrow down the niche too much. So yeah, so we have men's and women's homes in Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, Colorado, and North Carolina.
Oh, wow.
That's
across multiple states.
Yes.
So 6 properties now. And when did you get started with this strategy?
Yeah. So we started in July, was when we opened the first 3 homes. And then December was our most recent home, the one that we opened in the Western Slopes of Colorado.
That was July of last year?
Correct.
Okay. So for the folks listening out there, maybe you're listening in the future, that's about just 5 or 6 months, if my math is on point, which is not always on point. All right. That's amazing. So 6 properties in about half a year.
Yes.
Well done.
You're on. That's rocking and rolling.
Yeah, you're on pace to be one of the record setters.
Awesome.
So I want to rewind a little bit, you know, for the beginners out there, maybe they're just stumbling on this. They're trying to figure everything out. You had mentioned it didn't really make sense for your Airbnbs to do long-term rentals. Do you want to kind of break that down for people? Because I think there's a lot of misconceptions out there about rental properties and wealth and just the cash flow those things generate. So why don't you let them know why you didn't want to do long-term rentals?
Yeah. Like many that have dove into this and looked at the basic long-term rental, a home run for a long-term rental is maybe after you put away for expenses. And I always do a month of vacancy. So I have 72 long-term rentals that I own before pivoting to this. So I can speak pretty knowledgeably to what the cash flow looks like for a long-term rental. And maybe you're lucky for 150 because, you know, you're going to go out, you've got your mortgage, and market rate, if you're lucky, most markets is going to be a little bit more than your mortgage and your taxes and your interest rates, just because most people coming in to rent a home, they're hoping to stay there for an extended period of time. They're not dropping an extensive amount, you know, huge amount of money like you might do for a week in an Airbnb or something. What a group home allows you to do is, you know, we had these big, beautiful homes that made sense when we could make them experience and people were willing to pay prime dollar for a vacation home, but it did not make sense for someone who wanted to come along. And there's not a lot of people that wanted to come rent a 4 or 5 bedroom home, right? That's a pretty niche size family or group looking to live in their long term. And so your options are pretty slim, especially in what you can rent it for. What the group home option allows us to do is take a house that's big, but may not necessarily command a lot extra in long term rent, and literally break it down into beds. And so in our houses, we typically have 2 beds per bedroom. And if we can charge even anywhere from $125 for some of our homes up to $400 in other homes, depending on the market and the house, that instantly in just 2 or 3 bedrooms covers your mortgage and costs and then some. And everything after that in the other 2 to 3 bedrooms with each bed is all gravy. And so right there, it was kind of a no-brainer in the sense that we were going to be cash flowing negative if we tried to go with just market rents to a single family versus doing this approach and having income per bed.
I just want to clarify on that rate. You said 125 to 400.
Yes, a week per bed.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So
yes,
for the investors out there that maybe you're looking into different strategies, just break the calculator out for that. And we're talking 4 or 5 bedroom homes with typically 2 beds in each bedroom.
Correct. So
cash flow is a little bit more than that home run of $150 per week.
Just a little.
Per month.
Yeah.
Andy, you're also a rentals guy. You have a couple of doors yourself, so I know this stuff hits close to home.
Yeah. The stuff at the end of the day, the way I look at it is these are very, very large blocks of gold. And unlike gold, you can't really pledge your gold as collateral, but you can pledge your real estate as collateral. And so that's really all it is. I mean, do you want access to the debt markets? Okay, great. You're making $100 a month on a little house or whatever it is. It's just not enough. But what you can do is you can go take it to the bank and they'll give you some money for it. Versus the group homes, on the other hand, are an actual business that prints US dollar currency. It's what it is.
We've kind of said it in our content. We call it the McDonald's method.
Mm-hmm.
Got to kind of break that down for the folks out there, Andy.
Well, look, McDonald's is not really a restaurant. It's a real estate company. It's a real estate company that sells hamburgers. And so we sell beds, right? That's what we do. We sell beds by the month or potentially by the week, depending on how you're running it. But it's basically a real estate company. And so all you're looking to do is rent those beds out by the week or by the month. And if you want to pay down your debt quick, you can. If you don't want to pay down your debt quick, you just use that cash flow to go buy and purchase more real estate. So that's what it is. Real estate company.
It is, folks. So basically operating business, generating cash flow. and you still get all those opportunities that come along with real estate investing.
Yeah, and it's really nothing more than a long-dated short on the US dollar, because you go over to the bank, and many of you out there are going to be able to go get 30-year fixed rate debt. And it, for the people that probably have more than a few properties, most of those folks are going to be able to, not be able to, but they'll go over to commercial lenders and they'll be able to borrow money on a 20-year amortized loan that's typically due in 5 to 10 years. And it gives you a very, very good opportunity to basically fix your costs. Hey, we're going to loan you money at, back in the day, 3%. Now it's 7, 8, 9, 10%. But the point is that that's what you're able to do. And so you buy a house like that guy did that we brought on the webinar last week. You're buying houses, for sake of argument, $100,000. You got fixed debt at $10,000 a year, call it 10% interest, assuming you finance 100% of the thing. But guess what you're able to do? You're able to take that 4-bedroom house, put 8 people in there, and each person's paying you $600-$800 a month. And you're able to pay down the debt and then walk away with a very nice cash flow each and every month.
It is. Yeah. Now, Lindsay, so I want to rewind a little bit. You mentioned you have 72 rentals as well.
I do. I really dove into that before discovering this model.
How long have you been into real estate investing in general?
So I started during the pandemic. So my first purchase was July of 2020. So coming up on 4 years.
That's crazy.
That is incredible. How did you?
I was definitely expecting at least like 5 to 10 years.
Oh, I was going to say at least a decade. Yeah, that is incredible. That is.
Thank you.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, maybe Brandon usually asks all the questions, but can you walk the audience through how you were able to do that? That's a lot of work, a lot of energy.
Yeah, virtual assistants, one of them, because you need to have systems in place. So I will say building out a team, bringing on a business partner, looping in my husband. But I think the key for that was I started small. There are places, even though I live in San Francisco, none of the rentals that I own are anywhere near California. So I started buying places that were between $60,000 to $120,000, doing the Burr method, which for those of you that aren't familiar, it's where you buy, you find deals underpriced, you run your numbers really well. Hopefully you do some rehab, you force the equity. And when you go to refinance, you're basically able to get back most of the money that you put down and into the house so that you can snowball and rinse and repeat. So that's how I was able to take not a lot of money, but use it smartly to quickly grow a portfolio, and then started to dabble into other things such as short-term rentals and now group homes that give that bigger cash flow so that you can expand your portfolio even more rapidly. So really just finding niche markets, finding those deals where I could add that value and rinsing and repeating over and over, but really just dug into it, put the systems in place and hired the right team out.
What markets were you buying?
Yeah, so St. Joseph, Missouri, which is about 45 minutes north of Kansas City, Missouri. Kansas City, Missouri, in Oklahoma, areas way far out in Colorado, away from Denver, but kind of those, I really found my sweet spot to be in like tertiary markets. So really not even like Denver or, you know, Littleton, which would maybe be the secondary, but even further out. Part of me is I always want the cash flow, but also maybe because of the appreciation, thinking that it's going to head that way, the growth over time. So something to think about too, when you're looking for your group home riches, as long as there's the demand, but out in those more rural areas. And I saw some talk on the school about people finding some funding maybe potentially as well for those areas. So that's definitely been a sweet spot for me out in those more undiscovered or not as expensive markets.
I guess, how did you locate your markets? Did you just market research, or did you have some people that were pointing you those places, or were you looking on US Census data website stuff, or where did
So great question. I started just fumbling, and I was very lucky to fall into having a great mentor. I now, after kind of looking at what made a good market and working with him, so he's who pointed me in the direction of St. Joseph, Missouri, and I actually coach to help people find different markets, but I have a whole system of looking at key KPIs. Nice. So for me, I always want to look at what has the change been in median home value, change in employment numbers, the change in median income, as well as crime rates. And I've also started to look at climate control or climate change issues. So there's a great website that shows probably about 5 or 6 different things that are impacted everywhere from the environment to the business aspect. So I've started to pay a little bit of attention to that as well in how I'm looking at different markets. So, but I always like to say, and I think this goes for, you know, whatever you're purchasing for, there's no perfect market. The perfect market is a market that you're going to take action in. So you can get into analysis paralysis, but I like to say there's not a perfect market. There's just a bad deal in a good market. That's what you want to make sure avoiding, but it helps you narrow down where to start.
Awesome.
That's impressive stat.
Thank you.
Impressive stats. 70-ish rentals in the first, 2 or 3 years? And then 6 group homes in just 6 months. So what were you doing before real estate? I doubt this was your first foray into business and stuff like that.
Actually, it was. I bought hook, line, and sinker into that American dream of, you know, work hard, get good grades, get the corporate job, and you're going to have the American dream. And I was, can't tell, a little type A. So straight A student, valedictorian, got the consulting job out of college, then worked in finance, private equity. And I was getting more into debt, getting raises, and still running in the rat race. And I went back to school, spent more money on an MBA, came out with making a little bit more money, but still no sign of financial freedom. And my blessing was, at the time when COVID hit, I was doing sales where working for a biotech company. So I was going around educating and working and building relationships in cancer centers. And so my job came to a screeching halt, but I was blessed to still be getting paid. And I wanted to find something else. I wanted another income stream. That desire more came out of boredom. I now see it was a blessing in disguise that I kind of was pointed at this. Okay, I need something else to do that's going to make me money while things get back to normal. And that's when I discovered real estate, just listening to podcasts like yours and doing research and reaching out to people, and got the bug. And after I bought my first property and saw it wasn't rocket science, as long as you follow the formulas that, you know, groups are teaching and reach out to mentors, it's really a great way to build towards that financial independence. So I had never done, if you had told me 4.5 years ago that I was going to be running my own business and taking the risk of an entrepreneur, I would have told you were crazy, because I'm very risk averse. So if I can do it and take that plunge, I strongly encourage people that feel like it may not be in their comfort zone to explore it a little bit more.
Was there a book or a podcast that made a major shift in your thinking or anything like that? Or did you just kind of dive into it and learn along the way slowly? Or what was that transition like?
If anybody hasn't read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, you absolutely must and understand the difference between what is a liability and what is an asset. Because I think we have that a little bit backwards here in the US and what we're taught to be, you know, as the American dream. I also think killing sacred cows, I know it's a very weird name, but it's kind of opened my eyes up to the fact that 401ks and IRAs and everything, they're fairly new. We haven't seen a generation build them up, retire, and live successfully off into the sunset on those. And they're not maybe everything that we think they are in terms of the security blanket. So I think that opened my eyes up too, to really light a fire under being more proactive in building that wealth and mindset and income stream. In terms of too, also, I think answering, you know, resources, bigger pockets is a great one. Even just their forum, I think reaching out to people and saying, hey, here's what I'm thinking of doing and buying this house, group home. People are really excited and willing in that sort of community to give back and pay it forward. So I would definitely recommend people. That's another great resource you can turn to.
Agreed. 100%. Sometimes we pick them apart on our webinars a little bit, but I love bigger pockets. Massive resource. And that was definitely one of the things that I was just pouring through when I first got into real estate as well. When did you read Rich Dad, Poor Dad?
So my mentor said, you've got to reach this. So I think I had read it years ago and it didn't quite stick at that age when you're just trying to make a paycheck and keep a job. So I reread it that May of 2020. And that really was a great sort of, okay, now I understand, looking at the closet at my house, what really is helping me move forward versus more of a liability.
Andy, that's another fave of yours as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. One of the best. You know, it gets you started, right? It gets you started and it gets you excited. And I'm a big believer that you got to get excited to get going.
100%.
A lot of times people will inquire and you can just tell by the way they frame their questions or their situation, like, hey, you're not even ready for the gold course yet. Don't invest in the gold course. Definitely don't invest in coaching or higher ticket programs or anything like that. Don't go buy a property. Go buy a book. I can tell just by the way you frame it that we just kind of have a negative mindset. So I'll always recommend either Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Think and Grow Rich is another big one. That was kind of the game changer for me. So I like asking that question because it's very common that somebody has a catalyst like that that just kind of flips the switch and puts you on a new path. So that's
exactly.
And it's just crazy how recent this was for you with the resume and the portfolio.
Yeah, that's it is ridiculously impressive.
Thank you. I tend to get a little hyper-focused on things, but you know, again, finding the right mentors, the right resources, like you guys, I would not have been able to open 6 homes, probably even 1, if I hadn't come across Group Home Riches. So really finding the right resources and mentors and groups is so important.
100%. So another kind of key to you being able to scale so quickly, we totally agree with this, you know, is outsourcing. So it's not like Lindsay is over here managing 70 properties on her own, not sleeping, railing through pots of coffee every single day, which she might, but there's no humanly way possible for one person to do all this, get the capital, do the management, acquire the properties and everything like that. So let's dive into that a little bit. And let's kind of talk about one of your keys to success, which is outsourcing.
Yeah, I think I saw my business and portfolio scale as exponentially when I finally stopped. I'm scrappy. I grew up in a family that we didn't have a lot. You know, I always bought everything on sale. And like I said, I started with smaller price homes. And so for me to turn around and say, I'm going to spend money on somebody else to do something that's a task that I could do, maybe I sleeping a whole lot less, or, you know, my marriage is getting neglected a little bit, but I can do it. And finally stopping and saying, is it worth my time when I can pay somebody else $9 an hour or however much to do this task when I can be doing something much more impactful to my business? And you hear that a lot, but I think until you finally like sit down and take that leap of faith that it's worth investing in yourself in that sense. So I finally hired my own personal full-time assistant 1.5 years ago. I had one that I split with a business partner and helped work on the business for about 3 years now, but it wasn't until I had both of them on board that I really saw that hockey stick. And I think what people don't realize is if you hire the right virtual assistant that's competent, literally they can run your business in a beautiful way. And also I often have them helping me with personal things, booking travel, helping buy products around the house that I need monthly, because any time that I can free up and be working strategically on my business is huge. And so I think I shared a little bit with you. I started by trying to go really cheap through a company based in India, and I could only speak to them on Skype. And that just took up more time than not. I went through a third party, found a really rock solid VA that way, but wanted to pivot from being tied in, and then went the Fiverr route and kind of had these pain points. And it's definitely a learning just curve, like anything, like with starting group homes, kind of finding where your niche is to source from and finding that right person. But my VAs, they now are the point, they're the first person that all of my house managers go to, so that I am not dealing with anything unless it's a complete fire drill. They also do the accounting, maintenance, insurance, gathering stuff for taxes. So it's lately in ways I've almost had to find things to spend my time doing because everything is running so smoothly, having that system in place.
That is awesome. Yeah. I actually never really got my VAs very involved in the group homes. I mean, yes, from an accounting standpoint, yes, from like Home Depot runs and stuff like that. Tell everybody what else you use your VAs for in the group homes on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. So they're pulling my market target list. So last week I was like, oh, this house, you know, I could maybe fill it up a little bit more with this or that. Help find some where we can maybe source independent elderly, or not just the sober living. So she went and pulled that target list and is starting to make those calls. With every connection I make, I forward that information onto them and I say, hey, put this into the Kansas City flow desk. And so we're building a CRM. And then I'll say, hey, shoot out an email this week about we have this many beds, or we're running, you know, fall in love with sobriety February and cutting our entrance fees in half. And so they're going and making that marketing. I just come up with the idea and they go make the flyer in Canva and send it out. Awesome. Yeah. They're managing that database for me. They are making cold calls and trying to figure out who is the case manager, getting their specific phone number, you know, their contact, connecting with them, telling them about our program and letting them know who I am. So they're constantly doing the marketing. To your point, you know, Home Depot runs our house managers. Since I have six, it's a lot, right? And then you sometimes have residents calling you. So really what I had to do is just say, if you need anything, you reach out to Kiana. If it's an emergency, she'll let me know. But she's handling the invoices. Whenever intake paperwork comes in through DocuSign, they automatically put it into QuickBooks and start generating those invoices. So I'm not dealing with any of that. They're inputting, I have spreadsheets of who every resident is, their phone number, their contact info, if anybody's sponsoring them, how they're paying their payment plan. They put all of that in. They update the paperwork whenever we figure out, okay, we need to have a new procedure because people want to bring pets, you know, so what does that look like? What liability do we need to do? And they add that to the, you know, I just say, hey, research this and add it to the intake paperwork that people sign. They're finding insurance policies for me and getting that set up. And I just look and approve or say, no, can you, you know, get a third bid or not? So really everything besides we had a relapse or drug court is needing to talk to you. It's all goes, they're my first line of defense so that my phone isn't blowing up 24/7.
Yep. I love it. Guys, everybody also needs to remember, Lindsay comes, she's got a private equity background, right? And so we can't discount this at all. Lindsay, can you talk to everybody about what private equity does and like what you learn from those guys, how they come in there and they systematize the living you know what out of these businesses and just maybe how that kind of helped you do what you're talking about doing? Because frankly, I mean, you've systematized your business way more than I ever did.
Well, you know, it's definitely been trial and error. And I will say, you know, we have a virtual assistant who's our accountant here based in the US, and she loves us, but also wants to strangle us sometimes because we are building the systems as the plane flies. So my advice to people getting started is put them in place before. It'll make your life and everybody else's a little bit easier. But I stop and think, anything that doesn't need my personal insight, that's only in my head, how can I have somebody else do it? Right. And that's the ultimate wealth to me, is that everything else is put out there and I only have to really get in when it's interesting, fun, or I want to. And so having the right people in place, and I think when you think about it, there's two main things. So first, your operations. So how can you have people doing the daily nitty gritty? If you have to spend time opening up more than an hour and going through emails, you need to find a way to outsource a lot of that. So emails aren't coming to your inbox because you can chew up so much time doing admin, and again, not being strategic, marketing, looking at your numbers, thinking how to grow the business. And second, with finances. So I would definitely recommend just digging in, how can you automate those, making sure your money's collected and your money's paid out and the systems are set up. So even if it's your VA setting up the automatic payments for your electric and your water and all of that, but just who can sometimes put the systems into place for you and keep them running. But I would say break it down. So what are your operations that you need to look at for your house that needs to be systematized? And then your inflow and outflow of money. And what systems can you put in place there? And then as you start to build the houses and the things, then you have your communication. So as you have your team, how does that communication system look? So I think kind of just building it from the ground up is the best way. And really just, it may seem painful to create a spreadsheet and spend the time in the day or the weekend to organize it. But once you have that uptake, it is worth all the time in the world that you spent setting it up. So everything should have a spreadsheet at the very least of standard protocols is, you know, my biggest recommendation. We live and die by spreadsheets.
Love that. Yeah. So you guys, if you go back to my old blogs, you'll notice back in probably 2013 or whenever I started writing about all this stuff, a lot of these PE companies have been getting into this game for a long time. The one that I always used to write about that I knew about, it was a Dallas-based PE firm. And obviously that's where we're based out of. It was called DNS Residential Services. And they got bought out and then they scaled them into Tennessee and elsewhere. And I think they wound up having at one point, and it's probably bigger now, I think they had like 4,000 homes or some ridiculous number. But again, it's not just individual mom and pops doing this. These are big companies. And the reason they're big companies is because they've done and they are doing what Lindsay's talking about.
Yeah. you know, what I was part of was the ops team for a little while. And it was exactly that. After you would buy out a company, there was somebody specialized who came in. And the first thing they did was look at who was on the C-suite board and replace anybody that wasn't running those systems and efficiency. And putting those right people and right team was the first step that any private equity firm does when they come in to create a company to be more profitable. So that's what, how you should be treating your company. You're building it from the start with the right people in place and the right systems.
Starting to make sense a little bit now. So question for you, over the last like 30 days, approximately, how many times has Kiana, that's her name, correct? Kiana.
Correct.
How many times has Kiana escalated an issue to you over the last 30 days?
3-4. Now we're just at the point where she says, so-and-so wants this and this approved to buy or not, you know, and that's it. Otherwise, she's handling people trying to get out of paying for rent or handyman emergency calls. Once my VA has gotten more comfortable with it, to your point, she's escalating less and less to me because she feels confident in the system we put in place and is taking on more.
Of those 3-4 calls, were they major time issues or were they just a quick yes or no kind of thing?
Quick yes or no. Yeah. Beautiful.
So folks listening out there, this is why Lindsay can chat with us from the slopes and the businesses are running smoothly. And this is not just one property we're talking about. We're talking about 6 group homes rocking and rolling, scale and scaling that, as well as I'm sure you employ these the same practices with your rental business as well.
100%.
I love it. We're coming on time. So why don't you tell the folks a little bit about the valued assistance that you have going on?
Yeah. So I mentioned some of the pain points. And so my partner and I created Value Assistance to help people find those rock star virtual assistants to be part of your team without going through the trial and error that I went through. And so with Valued Assistance, we source it all from our personal network. So Kiana, Ruth, like I mentioned, it's sourcing through them in the Philippines, people they know that are trustworthy, that want the work and see it as a really great opportunity and want to be part of a team. So that's key. We go out, we find those individuals so that you don't have to spend the time kind of sifting through working on Fiverr or anywhere else. We go out and find those individuals. You can hire them for 20 hours a week or 40 hours a week. We set them up. You know, the other pain point I had going through other parties for virtual assistants was sometimes I could only communicate with them through Skype. And that's really hard to do. Having that ability to pick up the phone and call or even at least text whenever I wanted without having to be on Skype really makes a difference. And so we set them up with a US-based phone number and phone. So if you're in the Kansas City market and that's where you're going to be marketing, you'll probably want to, we can set them up with whatever area code you would like. So it looks local to those that you're reaching out to. And we also offer the support of, since we know now how to train them to pull market lists, to do the calls, to do the CRM database, those are all things that we can help train a virtual assistant on. In addition to if you have other things that you're working on, like something through Asana or project management, those are all things that we help onboard them for. You're not locked into a year long. It's a 2-year commitment. And like I mentioned, you can either do 20 hours or 40 hours a week and really just kind of straightforward, a great way to get reliable, trustworthy, because you're going to be sharing passwords, sometimes finances with people. So you really want to make sure that's there and make sure that they're spending the time that you're paying them for working on your stuff. So we have systems in place too that help monitor that if for any reason that's a concern on your end.
Let me throw something else out real quick, guys. Whether you bank at B of A or Chase or whatever, when you do hire these guys to run all your books, you do not want to give them full access to your bank account. You're going to want to do what's called view only. Okay. That way they can't send themselves money out of your account or anything else. So it's view only. It's real simple, but that's it. I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah. And there's also great platforms like we use NordPass where you can share passwords, but it doesn't ever actually let them see the password. So they can log in to certain things without ever needing to actually have your password. So that for some reason they leave you or whatever, and you change the password or you're worried about that. So we also help give you a startup guide on how to safely do exactly things like that, sharing passwords and view only and bank accounts. And really, you know, it's up to your comfort level. You don't have to share any of that with them, but there are safe ways to share sensitive information if you need.
Yeah. Anybody out there that's nervous about this, have kind of objections about it, they're all common. And these companies have figured all this stuff out. They know there's people like us out there. So there's a solution to every question you guys might have about this. And I wrote down the Nord Pass because that is interesting. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. We love it.
Well, it's been an insane, you know, couple years for you. What's the next kind of mid to long-term goals that you got going on the next year or two? What do you have on your plate?
Yeah, the private equity route would be great. My business partner and I would really like to scale maybe to 15 homes and be able to sell our company. We call it Revive Residence. So be able to have an exit, ultimately, I think is every investor's dream in that sense. But right now, I'm not gonna lie, it's been really fun just digging in and getting to help people. I think that's something that through all the kind of small headaches that can sometimes come when that pops up has been something that is really, really rewarding. So yeah, I'd like to just pivot a little bit more into the group homes, maybe change some of my long-term and get it rock solid and grow from there.
At exit, do you want to give the folks an idea of, do you have a monetary goal for that or range just to give the people an idea of the possibilities with this business?
Oh, I mean, if the private equity were to be coming in, it would be at least multi-million, 5 million would probably be the smallest that they'd even want to link and look at something like that. So for me, that's a decent chunk of money. You know, it depends on how big we get and where we're at, but minimum $5 million exit in a year or two from now or something.
There we go, folks. And she hit the nail on the head. You get to help people along the way. So that's one of our mottos here. The more people you help, the more money you make.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we definitely need to do a part two. I know that you got to get going. Very busy gal. Thank you so much for coming on. Why don't you drop you told us the name of the company. Where can people reach out to you and find you if they want to get more information on your company and yourself as well, if you want to give that info out?
Yeah. So the company is called Valued Assistance. We have a Facebook page. Also, I mentioned that I do some coaching. And so the easiest way to just grab some time with me, I love connecting with people. If you go to Millionaires March free strategy session, you can grab 30 minutes. We can talk about whatever you want to talk about, virtual assistants, group home, happy to connect there. So Millionaires March free strategy session, or else find Valued Assistance, that's with a TS at the end, on Facebook.
Beautiful. And we'll get those links in the description for you as well. So Wonderful. It's nice and easy for the folks out there.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on. Folks that are just stumbling on this, if you're interested in this business, head to grouphomeriches.com. Sign up for your free training material that'll answer all your basic questions. If it does sound like the perfect business for you, just reach out to us. We have a number of different products and services for you guys. We have a new private group. It's on school, less than a Netflix subscription, and you get to learn from all people like Lindsay. We're almost up to 2,000 people in there, people from all different backgrounds and points in their careers, just helping along. Me and Andy are learning new stuff in there every single day. So bare minimum, if it sounds like a great business for you, that's a great place to get your feet wet. So yeah, Lindsay, we'll let you get going. We definitely have to do a part two. Rocking it. Thank you so much for coming on. Do you have any parting words for the folks out there?
No, just thank you guys for what you do. It's an amazing resource and group. And, you know, everybody listening, just give it a try, explore, don't get stuck in analysis paralysis, find that accountability buddy. And I think you can really make a big difference in your life and others.
Love it. Andy, thank you for coming on as well, sir. Do you have any parting words for the folks out there?
No, probably the same thing I always say. I mean, look, it's time, right? I mean, the one thing that Lindsay harped on earlier on, that she's got time, and your life is time. Your life is made up of, you know, give or take, call it 75 to 85 years. That is time. So if you can get started now with your group home, like Lindsay, you will have time and you will have money and you will have freedom. So just get started.
Beautiful. All right. Thank you guys so much for coming on. Lindsay, thanks. We will be in touch and look forward to speaking with you and seeing this thing grow.
Appreciate it. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thanks, Lindsay.
Thank you guys. Have a great day. Care.